First Fridays, as implied in the name, is an event hosted by the Art Gallery of South Australia, which highlights new exhibitions and allows you a unique perspective on the gallery on the first Friday of every month. Joining us to speak more about tomorrow evening's event, Rethinking Australian Art, is Assistant Director of Artistic Programs, Lisa Slade. How's it going, Lisa?
Hello, Jenny. I'm very well. How are you going?
I'm really well today, thank you.
Excellent.
And why do you think we need to rethink Australian art?
Oh, I think Australian art, well, all art probably needs constant rethinking. I mean, art is not static. Art is something that we view differently according to where we are, who we are, of course. So rethinking Australian art in this context is about the fact that we've had a section of our Australian collection off view. So it hasn't been on view for some years. So that gave us an opportunity to really think about what was happening in Australian art and culture from around the mid-century on. So to think about that from the perspective of the early 21st century is to refresh and to rethink and to reset and to think about it from the here and now and think about the challenges that arose after World War II for Australian artists in trying to conjure a kind of sense of place and a sense of identity.
Yeah, and what do you think we still have in common with those artists
today?
Yeah,
very good. Well, I actually think we've returned in some ways. Like it was an extraordinarily kind of culturally complex and cosmopolitan time. I think people discredit the mid-20th century as being kind of middle Australia, if you like, as being quite kind of bland. But following World War II, there was this incredible influx from all over the world. So Australia was a really complex place. We were also, of course, moving towards, and we didn't get there until 1967, but we were moving towards recognising Australia's First People. So there are a whole lot of things happening then that I think really accord and, you know, with now, with where we're at right now, thinking through our identity at this point in time.
Yes, some things are still very relevant today, and the exhibition aims to highlight art from 50 years ago and around the time of the 67 referendum. Mm. How was that being portrayed in art at the time?
Great question. Well, there are a number of ways we've tackled that. We've looked at photography. So we've actually looked at photography as a kind of witness to what was happening at the time. So there are some wonderful photographs that are slightly later than 67, but by Mervyn Bishop, who was Australia's first Aboriginal photographer. But we've also looked at what was happening more generally in the art world. So from about the early 1970s, we have this incredible wellspring, which is really today discussed in terms of being the origin point of Aboriginal art as we know it in contemporary terms. But what we've tried to do through the display is to show that, in fact, of course, desert art began much longer ago. So desert art has its origins in a kind of millennial, in an extraordinary cultural tradition, in deep time, if you like, in deep cultural time. But that the tradition that we've often in some ways dismissed, and that's the Hermannsburg watercolour tradition, the most famous face of that tradition is, of course, Albert Namatjira. We've thought about that movement, which began in the 1930s, as belonging more to a Western tradition. What we've tried to do in the display is to reclaim, reposition that tradition, and to show the direct lineage or the direct connection between images that were made in Hermannsburg, in Daria, which is west of Alice Springs, and those that were made just 120 k's north, 20 and 30 years later in Papunya. So we've tried to track and retrack and retell the story of a Western blooming. Now, that blooming is something that today we honour in our exhibitions like Tarnandi, which opens in October, and is something that has gained international attention. So art history, I think like all history, is fond of its creation myths. You know those stories about where something began and why? We've tried to kind of look at those, scrutinise those creation myths and maybe rethink some of the way that we've told those stories.
Yeah. And, of course, you know, there is an enormous diversity within the styles and creations that a lot of Aboriginal people create. Mm. You know, that sort of thing about the dot paintings.
Yeah, great.
It's a bit of a stereotype, isn't it?
It is absolutely a stereotype. And so what we've tried to do in order to blow apart that stereotype is really absolutely present the diversity. So not only will you see the beginning of that dot painting style, which many attribute to Papunya, but really began, of course, much earlier. If you try and work, for instance, if you try and draw in sand, you'll come up with a dot. It's a very obvious way of making a mark. And, of course, that's been happening in time immemorial. But we've also got bark paintings. So there are two incredible bark paintings by Jiminyama Nima, which have come from Maningrida. So they're a Guningu artist who has made these beautiful. They're taller than you and I, and there are these incredible representations of his dreaming. We've also got, which are very, very exciting, some wonderful batik works. So the women working in Ernabella, and Ernabella is Australia's oldest Aboriginal art centre. It began in 1948. The women working in the top of South Australia in Ernabella were introduced to craft techniques. In the case of batik by Javanese batik makers. So they took their dreaming, their jukpa, to create walka, these important kind of designs on batik. So there are a series of those really beautiful batik paintings on silk. So I think the minute you walk into the display, which is in Gallery 6 and we launch it tomorrow night, I think audiences will be struck by the diversity of Aboriginal art, that it's clearly not just about dot painting.
Yeah, and it sounds as though there's sort of a sense of cultural appropriation or we all learn and borrow from each other's cultures, don't we, in our art?
Yeah, absolutely. Mm. So the exchange between Aboriginal and non-Aboriginal art is also something that I think has been undervalued or underappreciated. And you can track that. You can see, for instance, a work by Tony Tuckson, who was a non-Aboriginal artist, who was very inspired by the work that he encountered in Northern Australia. And we've quite consciously placed that beside a really wonderful painting by Emily Kamangware, who was a Madjara artist from the Utopia region.
Mm. Do you think there's been an issue over the years of some artists not getting the recognition they deserve?
Yes, and I think predominantly women have not gained that recognition, and one of the intentions behind the display was really to highlight the role of women. So there are a number of women, and many of them are South Australian. So we've got artists like Sue Richter, Nola Horth, Barbara Hanrahan, for instance, Anne Newmarch. There are many women artists. Inge King, who was not based in South Australia, but an incredible woman who died in her 100th year last year, who worked in steel, very large steel work. So not only have we tried to dispel some of the mythologies around Aboriginal art and art making, we've certainly tried to take a very similar approach in rethinking the way in which women have forged a kind of counter canon. So we've looked at who's missing from the canon, who hasn't been represented in our histories and our selections, as well as paying homage. You know, Fred Williams is still there, John Brack is still there, John Olsen is still on the walls, as well as paying homage to those key figures, those household names, we've tried to diversify the story.
Lisa Slade's with us. She's the Assistant Director of Artistic Programs at the Art Gallery of South Australia. And every first Friday of every month, they have a wonderful afternoon after work soiree event. Mm-hmm. Tell us about what First Fridays is all about and what we can expect tomorrow night.
Great. Thanks, Jenny. So First Fridays, as you said, you know, it's the first Friday of every month. And through the support we receive, we're able to stay open. So it's an extended hours program. We don't shut down at all. Usually the gallery, of course, is open between 10 and 5 every day. But in the case of the first Friday of the month, we stay open until 9 p.m. So that means that people can come straight from work. They can knock off early if they like. They can come for a tour at 5 o'clock. They can come for a special talk at 6 o'clock. They can always hear live music. The programs are always free. If we have a ticketed exhibition, obviously that incurs a fee. But otherwise, the programs and the gallery is absolutely open, free access for all. Art gallery food and wine are there, so you can have dinner at the gallery. You can have a drink at the gallery. You can just come and have a quiet moment. You can walk into the Elder Wing or the Melrose Wing or our new display of Australian art and sit down and have a quiet moment with a friend, with a lover, with a member of your family, and just come and be in your own art gallery.
Oh, that sounds great. So anytime after work tomorrow from 5 p.m. it sounds like. Or you can always go before, I guess.
You could absolutely come all day. We don't mind at all. We've got Zephyr Quartet playing tomorrow night too.
Oh, fantastic. Excellent. Lisa Slade, thanks so much for joining us.
Thanks, Jenny.
Assistant Director of the Artistic Programs from the Art Gallery of South Australia. Head along tomorrow night.